Let's bow before our God as we turn to his word this morning. Gracious Father, our prayer this morning is that by your Spirit and through your word and in your word this morning, Father, that you would cause us to see things in your word, to see things that are unseen in this world, yet ever more real than anything in this world. Father, by your Spirit and in your word, cause us to see, and by that, grow us in faith. And we pray this in Christ's name, amen. For some, to refer to a 16th century person at the outset of a sermon might be not so desirable, but I beg your forgiveness as I'm about to do so this morning. For this past week, I was reading a little bit about the 16th century English reformer William Tyndale. And Tyndale's entire goal of his life was to bring to the British people, the English-speaking people, a copy of God's word in the English language. He succeeded in that goal. He succeeded to that end. For almost a century later, or roughly a century later, the King James Version of the Bible came out, was produced. And that King James Version, by the way, much of the words of the King James Version were drawn from the translation work and the words of William Tyndale. He succeeded, but he died in doing so, or perhaps more accurately expressed, he was put to death for doing so. In 1536, William Tyndale was condemned to die, and he was executed by strangulation. And then his body was taken, and rather than being buried, it was burned at the stake. Such amazing accounts, such in some ways, of course, in some ways, sad accounts, but nevertheless, I rejoice in these accounts. I love to read these accounts of fellow believers who have endured even to the point of death for the sake of Christ and the gospel of Christ, for the sake of Christ and his kingdom. And I mention William Tyndale and such many other individuals like him who suffered and endured. I mention that this morning at the outset for this reason, because as we approach the last portion of Hebrews chapter 11 and our series within a series, as I originally called it, the Walk of Faith, in our more expansive series in the book of Hebrews that we've been going through for over a year now. But as we approach the end now of Hebrews chapter 11, and next week, not this week, but next week in verses 30 through 40, we are going to hear then about those who were stoned, those who were, hear me, sawn in half, those who were slain by the sword. And this week, we are going to hear of Moses. And you might say, well, Moses was not martyred. And that is true. But Moses, I hope you were listening to the text. And if not, you will hear it again now, that Moses, as we read there in our text this morning in verse 25, chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So my question at the outset that we can readily answer and readily answer from our text this morning is, how did these ones, how did William Tyndale, how did those ones sawn in two at the latter part of Hebrews chapter 11, how does Moses in our text this morning, how did these ones endure? How was it that they were able to endure? And the answer comes from our text in two words: by faith. By faith, they were able to do so. And furthermore, by faith, they were able, like William Tyndale, like Moses, and like these others, they were able to accomplish much for the kingdom of Christ, for the kingdom of God. They were able to accomplish much and see great work accomplished. In other words, there is a connection, hear me, a connection between faith and works. What is that connection? Well, we are, of course, saved by faith alone. I'm saying nothing different than that this morning. We are saved through faith alone, sola fide, the cry of the reformers. Sola fide, through faith alone. However, in James chapter 2 and verse 20, we read there that faith alone without works, faith without works is dead. So what is the connection then between faith and works? Well, perhaps it is put wonderfully in the words of another reformer, arguably the greatest reformer, Martin Luther, who said, "We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone." We are saved by faith alone and through faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. That is, in other words, that true saving faith always leads to works. True saving faith always leads to works. And that is one of the two lessons of our text this morning. Lesson number one this morning is about faith leading to works. And then the follow-up lesson, the concluding lesson of this morning, is that faith is able to do so. Faith is able to lead us to works. Faith is able to do so because what faith really is, this is taken from our text as it's as part of the, it is the title of my message this morning. Faith is seeing the unseen. Faith is seeing that which is unseen. So let's launch into our text. Let's first of all see faith leading to works and begin by asking the question, what works are those? Faith leading to what? Number one, faith leading to courage in verse 23 of our text this morning. In verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. The faith here that is spoken of in verse 23 is the faith not of Moses, but of his parents. It is the faith of his parents. And just to rehash how the story goes and to take you back further than this, back to Genesis chapter 46, we need not turn there. You can look this up this afternoon, as I love to tell you, and give you some homework for the afternoon. But let me just briefly remind you of the accounts that lead to this. In Genesis chapter 46, Jacob, who is renamed Israel, goes down into Egypt because of the great famine. And there, many years later, in Exodus chapter 1 now, the children of Israel have grown to be very numerous. And a new Pharaoh, as a result, plans and purposes to do two things. Number one, he decides to enslave all of the children of Israel. And number two, he plans to and directs the midwives of Egypt to make sure that they kill all of the male children born, all of the Hebrew male children born to the children of Israel. However, baby Moses is spared. And a little bit of an aside that you can tuck away for later on. A little bit of an aside, but an important aside. Moses is spared in the same way that another male baby will be spared in Egypt. from the murderous hand of another king. But back in Exodus, the book of Exodus, and back with Moses, and back with Moses in Exodus chapter 2, as this newborn male Hebrew baby, his parents hid him from that murderous hand of Pharaoh. And they did so, as our text in Hebrews says, for 3 months. But when it became impossible for them to hide him any longer, they placed him in a basket. And he was found, as the narrative unfolds in Exodus, he was found by Pharaoh's daughter. And thus Moses was preserved. Moses was spared. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, once again, we read that there Moses was spared for his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Therefore, they hatched this plan whereby he was spared. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's command. They were not afraid of the command and the edict of the one who was possibly the most powerful person on the face of the earth at that time. They were not afraid of Pharaoh's command. They were not afraid of Pharaoh. And why is that? They were not afraid by faith. They were not afraid because faith leads to, first of all, courage. Faith leads to courage. Faith leads to righteous courage. But before we leave this first work that is led to from faith, before we leave that and go on from verse 23, I want you to notice something else that you've probably already noticed and are probably wondering about. Some, dare I say it, strange words there in verse 23. By faith, when he was born, Moses was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. Does that not strike you as a little bit odd? What does that mean? Well, first of all, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. I'm sure, and you can be sure along with me, that what it does not mean is that the parents of Moses made this decision to save Moses purely on the basis of the fact that he was relatively an attractive child. Not beauty in that sense. No. Instead, what I think the author of Hebrews is saying, and what the author of Exodus, Moses himself, is saying back there, is that Moses' parents saw something more in this child. They saw something more in this child. Now, what that is, I will wait a little bit to explain more about that, and you can just tuck that away in your back pocket for now. But I think that's what's going on there. But first of all, we see that faith leads to courage. Secondly, in verses 24 through 26 now, we see that faith also leads to holy desires. By faith, Moses, when he came of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, explains this a little bit in a very succinct fashion, what is happening there. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11, we read there, "Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown and is now an adult, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens." He went out, he looked, and he saw the burdens of the people of God, of his brethren. And as a result of that, now back in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verses 24 through 26. Mark you what happened as a result of his looking in that way. As a result, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ to be better than all the treasures of Egypt. Do you see that? Do you see how he is contrasting and comparing these two? And he is choosing the suffering, choosing the affliction, choosing to suffer the afflictions of the people of God, choosing the reproach, it says, of Christ. Choosing the reproach of Christ over all the treasures, all the rich treasures that would have been his in the land of Egypt. And why did he do so? For he looked to the reward. He looked to the reward. Faith leads to holy desires. Holy desires, not sinful desires. But back in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 through 26, I want to note something else once again before we move on. And that is another unusual phrase there that I want you to note here. And that is that he chose or esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, how is that? How is Moses living before even 1000 BC, more than 1000 years before Christ? How is he esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt? Well, let me explain it this way. Let me have you note a couple of things with me here. First of all, note, and hear me, this is important, that the sufferings of God's people in any time, here today, in the time of Christ, and over before 1000 BC, that the sufferings of God's people in all times are the reproach of Christ. Are always the sufferings of God's people, are always the reproach of Christ. How can that be? This is true because God's people in all times, God's people in all times are God's people on the basis of Christ, on the basis of his person, and on the basis of his salvation achieved and accomplished on the cross of Calvary, on behalf of the people of God. All people in all times are God's people because of Christ. Therefore, any suffering of Moses was indeed the reproach of Christ. But furthermore, a second point with regards to this. For it says that Moses esteemed, he considered. Moses esteemed, it said, the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures and riches of Egypt. What that is suggesting, and what I would say it does suggest, is that Moses knew Christ. In some way, he knew of Christ. What exactly did he know? Well, we can probably use the Apostle Paul's words and say that he saw through a glass dimly. But nevertheless, he saw Christ. Moses knew Christ. And if you're doubting me on this, let me refer you again to a scripture that I've referred to in previous times, and that is Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. When Jesus, the risen Christ, is walking on the road to Emmaus with two travelers. And it says there in Luke 24:27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, in other words, going back to the very beginning of the Old Testament and all the way through, going back to the beginning of the Old Testament and the writings of Moses, and going through all of there, Jesus, he expounded to them in all the scriptures, including Moses, the things concerning himself. Moses saw Christ. Moses knew Christ. Moses embraced, therefore, Christ. Moses embraced the reproach of Christ. For faith leads to holy desires. Thirdly, again by faith, this time in verse 27, faith leads to endurance. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses forsook Egypt, it says there. Or if you have an ESV or perhaps another version, it might say Moses left Egypt. And so there's a question for us as we try and understand what exactly the writer of Hebrews is talking about here. There's a question that is, which event is he referring to? For Moses left Egypt on more than one occasion. Moses left Egypt, and many think that it is this occasion to which the author refers here in Hebrews chapter 11, that perhaps Moses left Egypt as he left with the people in the Exodus. The problem with that is that our text this morning, and just walk yourself through it again, our text this morning, and indeed all of Hebrews chapter 11 up until now and following this point, follows very closely a chronological succession of events. It gets things in precise order all the way through. And therefore, if in verse 27, follow me, the author of Hebrews is referring to the Exodus, then he places that before verse 28, which is the Passover. That would be a problem with understanding this having to do with the Exodus. So others say that what is being referred to when Moses forsook or left Egypt, he is referring to, the author is referring to the first time he left, when Moses killed the Egyptian and fled then into the Midian wilderness in Exodus chapter 2. But there's a problem with that, because in that text back in Exodus chapter 2, it says specifically that Moses feared. He feared, and yet Hebrews chapter 11 says in verse 27 that he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. So what exactly is being referred to here? Let me offer up a third option here, and you can decide for yourself. A third option has to do with this word translated in my New King James as forsook Egypt, left Egypt in the ESV, but forsook Egypt in the New King James Version. That this very word in the original can be and is used elsewhere in Scripture to mean not a geographical leaving, not a geographical forsaking, but rather a metaphorical forsaking, a turning one's back upon. And I wonder here, in fact, I would suggest here that perhaps at least this forsaking of Egypt that is referred to here in Hebrews 11 and verse 27 is that sort of forsaking. That previously we read earlier that Moses has refused to be known and called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And now in verse 27, he turns his back on all things Egyptian and rather chooses to follow after and be with and to suffer the afflictions of the people of God. That this is not a geographical forsaking or a forsaking of location, but rather a turning one's back to follow after Yahweh and to adjoin himself to the people of God. But here's the point before we move on. any which way you understand it, doesn't really matter ultimately. For here is what does matter. Here's the point. That despite forsaking Egypt, he endured. He endured the sufferings of the people of God. He endured the hardships of the wilderness. He endured. For, because, faith leads to endurance. And notice, finally, before we leave verse 27, once again, something I want you to tuck in your back pocket for a moment or two. Notice also what it says there in verse 27, the reason he was able to leave. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, who is unseen, in other words. He saw him who is unseen, and he esteemed, he realized, he valued, and appraised that he who is unseen is infinitely greater than the seen and visible and angry Pharaoh of Egypt. We continue on. We move through these last two. We'll move through them rather quickly. Verse 28. Again, by faith. Notice how the passage is outlined. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And fourthly, by faith, in verse 28. Fourthly, by faith, faith leads to trust and obedience. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Moses received before the Exodus and in the final plague, the plague of the firstborn and the death of the firstborn in all of Egypt. Moses received instructions from God regarding the first Passover, regarding the Passover lamb. Moses received instructions regarding the blood of the Passover lamb, and how by putting the blood and applying that blood to the doorposts, and how he was supposed to do that, and as he did that, and as the Lord, as Yahweh, moved into the midst of Egypt on that evening, on that night, and killed and slayed all of the firstborn of Egypt, that nonetheless, the Lord would pass over where the blood had been applied. Moses received instructions from God. Moses trusted God, and Moses therefore obeyed, for faith leads to trust and obedience. And then finally, in verse 29, faith leads to deliverance and salvation. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith there is deliverance. By faith there is salvation. What is the difference between the children of Israel in verse 29 and the Egyptians in verse 29? There is one simple difference: faith. Faith is the only difference. For through faith, we receive deliverance. Through faith, we receive the gift of salvation. In conclusion this morning, I have a question, and it is an important question that leads to our second and final important point this morning. First of all, faith leading to works. But my question is now, in conclusion, how is it that all of these things are by faith? How is it that faith does lead to works? How is it that faith does lead to courage? How does faith lead to obedience? How does faith lead to endurance? How does faith lead to all of these things? We see that it does, but how does it do so? I think the answer here comes as we consider again, for we've considered it before, but now considering it from our text this morning, what is faith? And to see the answer to that question, to see and re-see the definition of faith, I would encourage you just to roll your eyes over our text this morning. Indeed, roll your eyes over chapter 11. And notice, first of all, in our text this morning, the words which we've been considering, the number of times the author most strategically and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit uses words like sees and seeing and looking. Verse 23, first of all, they saw he was a beautiful child. Verse 26, Moses looked to the reward. Verse 27, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Not only our text, but throughout Hebrews chapter 11, the number of times the author refers to seeing and looking. Verse 13, for instance, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And of course, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Seeing and looking is throughout Hebrews chapter 11. Seeing and looking is throughout our text this morning. We ask the question, how is it that by faith Moses and all of these others were able to achieve these things? How is it that faith leads to these works? Well, we return, as I say, to understanding and the definition of what faith is. And we see the author telling us that faith is seeing. That faith is seeing. Faith is seeing things that are unseen. Hence my prayer at the beginning of our message this morning. Hence all the references to seeing here. Faith is seeing that which is unseen. Faith is seeing not by some sort of mystical vision or miraculous vision, but rather faith is seeing through the words and the pages of Scripture, the glorious, what have we been talking about all the way through chapter 11? Faith is seeing the glorious promises of God and being assured of them and embracing them. That's what faith is. And so with that in mind, let's just quickly walk through our text this morning. Quickly walk through it once again and see faith seeing. Thus in our text, Moses' parents, first of all, saw, yes, the beauty of the boy, but there's something more than that. They saw beyond the beauty of the boy. They saw a deliverer. They saw in some way in that deliverer, they saw the deliverer who was to come. And by faith, by seeing, that is, they had courage. Secondly, Moses saw the reward, it says, in verse 26. And by seeing, by faith, by seeing, that is, by seeing the reward, he had holy desires. Verse 27, Moses saw the unseen, it says. The one who is unseen, I should say. Moses saw the one who is unseen, and seeing that one, he endured. Moses saw in verse 28, in the instructions regarding the Passover, he saw there deliverance from God's wrath through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the Passover Lamb, through the blood ultimately, deliverance ultimately through the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And by seeing, that is, he trusted and obeyed. And finally in our passage, the people saw themselves the deliverance, the salvation of God, the salvation that God provided, as well as not only the salvation that God provided in the Red Sea, but the salvation and the ultimate deliverance to which that pointed. They saw that as well. They saw, they believed, they had faith, they saw, and they received that salvation. And so finally, even so for the readers of the book of Hebrews, and even so for us, that we are to see when we open the scriptures, when we read these words in scriptures, we are to see the promises of God, to be assured of those promises, and to embrace those promises of God. And we also, in so doing, we also shall endure until that day when faith becomes true sight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning, your word which allows us to see that which is unseen. And by that seeing, Father, that we might have courage, that we might have endurance, that we might endure to the end, that by that faith, by that seeing, by that clinging to, by faith, the promises of God, we might endure and know that ultimate deliverance in the day when faith becomes sight. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.